Welcome to Office Hours with me. It is your time to ask questions about Resonate from me. I'll get to them order that they arrive. And yeah, cool. First question from Yosh is, of course, what the dog doing. So I actually have two dogs this week because I'm dog-sitting a friend's dog for a bit. So I'm just going to go ahead and grab a cute photo and drop it into the doobly-doo. It's also incredibly hot. I'm running an experiment based on temperature readings of my thermostat, if my AC is actually doing anything. So right now I just have a box fan on, but I'm going to go ahead and see what the temperature is there. Because it got up to like 88 inside. For those who like don't like Fahrenheit, yeah, neither do I, but unfortunately my living room thermostat reads Fahrenheit, so I've kind of had to get used to it for that effect. I do have a Bluetooth low energy temperature sensor though, which I've relocated from the drawer to the bedroom, so that's all logging. No, living room, that's logging. I'll see what the temperature is there. I've got a better AC arriving on Thursday. It's like, whilst there are no questions, let's talk about British thermal units. So, BTU is the measurement that you'll see on most air conditioners. So BTU is British thermal units. And you kind of need like 20 thermal units per square foot, as far as I remember. So, here we go. The BTU is a measure of heat, which is a... Okay. A BTU is originally defined as the amount of heat required to raise the temperature of 1 pound of liquid by 1 degree. And then BTU per hour is, of course, the measurement of how cool you can get something in. So, yeah, BTU. Someone is asking in the doobly-doo where they ask questions. You ask questions in the other doobly-doo. I'll just provide a link rather than continuing saying doobly-doo. That doesn't make any sense. But, yeah, BTU is a little bit different. Anyway, I was looking it up a little. I actually have no idea how this works. Anyway, the current AC is 10,000 BTU. The one that's arriving is 16,000. So that's a, like... No, 1.6 gain or whatever. I don't know. That's a lot. Anyway, let's go ahead and take a look at some questions. Echo says, would it be possible to have support delete my group and then make it a new name so the ID isn't that of the old name? Theoretically, yes. Open up a support ticket. We'll take a look. I see. No other questions currently. Oh, they're flooding in. Feta, stop barking. No more barking. No. No more barking. All right. Okay, Kestrel. I guess this is more of a general picking your brain question, but what are your thoughts on the standard-based VR projects? Instead of platforms based on binary blobs and centralized server infrastructure, a set of standards defining everything, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, there's a bunch of standards that exist, and I think we'll probably end up, like, implementing some of them, like VRM, GLTF, stuff like that. We could always do better GLTF support. We could always do better VRM support, etc. But a lot of the standards just aren't useful unless like everyone adopts them. So it's kind of like a chicken and egg problem in that you can't really figure out which one's going to be done. Like, for example, if VRChat like supported a VR standard, maybe we'd look into it more because that would enable people to come across if they were using stuff like that. But like, it's very tricky. There also appears to be a sort of like cash. It's not cash grab, but it's like, I don't know, prestige grab or something by these standards groups to be like the first standard group that has like a complete set of standards that's all like signed off and orchestrated. I was actually invited a few years back to be a member of one of those standard bodies, but I didn't understand what they were talking about. You know, they're like, we'd like to, like, you know, here's our website, take a look around. I just didn't understand anything that they were doing. But they had like an org chart to rival Microsoft, and they haven't done anything yet. They're like, oh yes, we need an education person for our standards body. Could you be the education person for our standards body? I'm like, no, not with this level of disorganization. It was very confusing. Anyway, Joyful says, is there anything coming in the future to protect items with simple avatar protection to disable inspectors on the item? Simple avatar protection is at the end of its life already. It was kind of at the end of its life when it was created, but it is like vastly at the end of its life right now. Adding additional protections to simple avatar protection is just, it's not possible. It is possible, but the problem is that like it opens up like a floodgate of like, well, okay, now you've made this change, you can make 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 this change. It's just like, ah. So what we're doing instead is we're saying like, hey, simple avatar protection is named simple avatar protection. It was never meant to be a foolproof protection system. There is a feature called hard permissions, which is we've got a GitHub issue for it, but it's sort of not on our planned out roadmap, performances next, etc. That will be sort of a reimagining of all those permission systems to be much more secure, but also much more sort of varied in the things that they're able to prevent. So inspector modifications would be one of those. You can take a look at the GitHub issue. If someone doesn't have a chance to link it by the time I get there, I will go ahead and link it for you. Zera says, what method would be used to encourage more people to volunteer on the wiki? I've thought of some. So for example, we just did the translator badge. I was thinking like, hey, maybe we do like a wiki badge or whatever. There's a couple of extensions that can basically like, track who's doing edits and stuff like that. And we can be like, hey, you did like a lot of edits. Great. We'll give you a badge or we'll shout you out, etc. That might be one way. Another way might just be talking about it more. You know, I've thought about like editing the wiki live. I got like a weird Twitch stream, I know, but it'll be like people come to Twitch streams and they ask Resonite questions, and then instead of answering, you kind of watch me edit the wiki until that question is answered, and then people can see like how easy it is. One of the things that stops people when editing the wiki is they're just like, I can't, or I don't understand, or I need permission. I'm like, no, like you can just do it. Like whenever you want to do it, you can just do it, right? And there are some things that need more organization. So, for example, like a bigger project such as the Protofox node, that's needed a little bit of organization, etc. But that's been done now, and you can just do it by following the templates. Just try, really. And you don't really need to ask what can and can't be on the wiki. Like most things can be on there. We've got sort of fiction works on there. We've got non-fiction works, of course. We've got groups. We've got worlds. We've got items. Like whatever you want to put on there, put on there. It is your place as much as it is our place. All right, moving forwards to additional questions. Euphoria says, what did do not generate DSP nodes mean in the latest pre-release update? Yeah, so the DSP nodes are, DSP stands for Dynamic Signal Processing, and it's a sort of general system for Protoflux to process signals. For anyone who doesn't really know what I mean by signals, signals can be anything, but of particular note is things like textures. If you modify a texture image, it can just basically end up being like, it's just a data stream, right? It's just a, like, you know, this top left pixel is red, the next one is blue, etc. That's a stream of data, and you can do processing on that. That's dynamic signal processing. You can find some GitHub issues about those items, both texture, sound, and shader DSPs. That will give you more information. They're not generated now because they're not complete, so there's no point generating bindings for them. If there is not a Protoflux binding for a Protoflux node, you won't be able to spawn it with the doobly-doos, the tools. So it kind of also fixes a crash where by people were poking around and spawning those and going, look, I've spawned a node that isn't complete and it crashes the world. Let's move down to the next question. Dorky says, could you explain the recent pre-release updates devlog to someone who has zero idea what type management systems are used for? Sure. So Resonite basically squashes everything down to JSON and sends it over a wire. JSON's just a sort of object notation. It's a way of representing data. And it sends it down the wire. And for that to work concretely, both parties need to know the types of the stuff that's being sent. And so that's simple for things like numbers or strings and stuff like that, but it gets a lot more complicated for classes and objects. So let's take, for example, the user object. Like, that's really complicated. It's, you know, it's got a lot of stuff on it, like, you know, all your name, information, IDs, etc. But it's non-standard. Like, C# doesn't have a common user object that would be compatible with Resonite. So what we need to do is create a system that says, like, hey, this user type is supported by the Resonite system, and this user type can be encoded and serialized by the Resonite system, and when it gets from one place to the other, both sides need information about what it is and how to process it. And so that's what we're doing. The reason why we're doing that is because we are sort of separating, we're decoupling the runtimes from how Resonite's running. So right now, everything across the board is like one version of .NET, which is like a hard to explain .NET. It's just like a library of frameworks that everyone uses. Basically, you can technically use C# without it, although I don't recommend it. So currently, everything's using the same .NET version, which means they've all got the same types. So, if a type exists in headless, it should theoretically exist on the client. And those mean that, you know, there needs to be no translation layer there, because they can just go like, oh yeah, I've got that. I know what that is. But that's changing because we're moving the headless over to .NET 8, and we want to do the process-based architecture as well, which means that sessions will be running their own processes, and those will be running under .NET 8, at which point the types become sort of out of sync with each other, and you can get into a state where you send a type over the wire as JSON, it comes out the other end, and the client or the host goes, I don't know what to do with that. Like, I don't have that. I don't know what to, like, I can't process that. And that's what that system's aiming to sort of figure out. So we can spot those issues and resolve them, and also make the system more fluid. IMNX says, have you considered giving out storage space patron tiers for free for people who do stuff in the community, especially when it would help them in that role if they themselves cannot afford it at the time for personal reasons? I do hope that we get some sort of like philanthropic style stuff going. When I say philanthropy, though, it would be more sort of charities or educational establishments, research bodies, etc. So I do hope we get that going, and it would be great if we could, I don't know, do a charity initiative where we do the work sort of pro bono because it's for a charity or whatever. But that's like a step above what you're asking. You're looking at sort of just general content creators within the space. I think we can take a look at a system like that in the future. It's just not really a priority right now. We have had requests for it in the past, etc., from various people that can't do it. We are also looking at additional payment methods, which will open up a sort of realm of possibility where you might be able to more specifically be like, I don't care about the badge, I don't care about the red name tag, I don't care about all this stuff, I just need like some extra space. And so with our alternative payment providers, maybe you'll be able to just buy that, at which point it'll become a lot sort of cheaper and a lot more specific as well. You might be like, don't care about anything else, just need space. And we'll be like, all right, well, here's a price for just space. And so with the just space price, it might be different. Our master says, question, will nodes have a visual pose to show the flow of execution of those nodes along the wires? I think that would make it easier to debug and see where the code is going. So our Protoflux visuals are not finished. So when they get finished, we'll be doing that as another update. And then maybe... also included that as a separate item, though, is better debugging tools for Protoflux. Not quite sure on the issues. I also think like a flow like that might end up being a bit spammy. For those who remember the old system that we had with the sort of pulse that came out from it, that was a little bit spammy. So maybe, but probably not specifically that. Mr. Deb says, have you guys thought about implementing Git or some sort of source control for building worlds? Yes, it will not be Git, though, but it will be something like that. And I don't mean like that in the sort of like commit branches, stuff like that. It needs to be a custom system that works for all of Resonite's like structures and constructs, so it will exist. There's a GitHub issue for it, so we'll get there eventually. Echo says, with headless is going process-based, how will the processes be split up? There are two separate items here. The headless will be running on .NET 8 to start with, and then process-based architecture will be another thing. So the process-based architecture is a little bit like Chrome. So if you open up Chrome and then you open up your task manager, you'll see a bunch of Chrome.exes running, like usually like 10 plus. That number grows depending on how many tabs you have. And loosely based, I don't exactly know how Chrome buckets it down, but like different areas of your browsing experience are handled by different Chrome.exes, right? And it means that there is isolation of concerns and isolation of... stuff going on. It means we can sort of better utilize the underlying system resources to do more. So a crude example might be, okay, you're running Resonite with the process-based architecture and you're connected to three sessions. Each of those three sessions would run on a separate process. You'd have session1.exe, it'd still be called Resonite.exe or whatever, session2.exe and session3.exe. And then if one of those sessions crashes for every reason, it just crashes that process and not the underlying Resonite client. And it also doesn't crash the other two processes. Exit asks, with additional payment providers, will there be an option to buy storage for someone else? I don't know. Gifting is probably a feature that we can look into. We'll probably get there after the initial payment provider implementation. Yeah, so jumping around down to Aaron's question, who asks about Stripe. Yes, so that's the payment provider that we want to look at. And that payment provider would allow us to do gifting theoretically, but that would be a separate update from the first Stripe update. And then Aaron asks if there's an expected time frame for the Stripe switch. It won't be a switch. There'll be Patreon and Stripe for a bit. We would want to encourage as many users as possible to switch over to Stripe, and we might get to the point where we don't need Patreon anymore if everyone, 100% of people, are over on Stripe, but I doubt that would happen. So both will coexist for quite some time. There's no timeline on that. I know I hope the timeline would be, but like that isn't confirmed yet. We're still figuring out like stuff with Stripe, and then we need to actually like plan out the implementation and do it. Let's move down to when will B have a roadmap on Resonite's progression? We sort of have a roadmap right now, but it's sort of just a list of stuff that we talked about, right? One of the problems that we have is that we are a very small team and we just continually get randomized. And don't view that negatively. Like, good example will be the survey that we just did, right? So we said that our in November, we said that our next three main features or focuses would be the setting system rework, the new in-house IK system, and performance optimization. So that was three items. We did the settings rework, and then we stopped, and we asked in a survey, which of the two that we said previously in November do you want? Do you want IK, or do you want performance optimization? And that was the May 2024 survey. In the May 2024 survey, we received an overwhelming indication that people want performance, so now we're working on performance. And that's kind of how we're doing roadmapping, right? So we can't do a roadmap like a really big company would be, because we're not big enough. We can't tell you Q3 2026. We can't tell you what we'll be doing. We're going to be randomized to crap by the time we get there. You know, we're going to be working with you and figuring out what is applicable for Q2 2026 or whichever year I told you. By the time we get there, maybe there'll be another survey. Maybe there'll be some other way of doing it. We are very strongly trying to make this not happen, but maybe it will happen. We don't know. Maybe it'll be like some big person comes in and throws a bunch of money at us and says, here, this is your next focus for Q2 2026. Who knows? It's like wibbly wobbly timey wimey things, right? There's the information there that we do have. I understand that it's not like concrete, but as I've just explained, it can't really be concrete. The only way it'll be able to be concrete is if we were not listening to you guys as closely, right? So if we just went off in our own little corner of the world and we were like, nope, we don't care what our customers say. We want to do this. We want to do this next. We want to do this next. Then we'll be able to give you a much more detailed roadmap. But as far as it concerns, no. After the performance optimizations, for example, we'll probably ask you again what you want next. Might not be a survey, might be a different mechanism or something like that, but then we'll bucket stuff in there. For those unaware, this is sort of known as Agile. Agile in large organizations does have more sort of concrete stuff around it. They're able to produce roadmaps, but that's because they can do capacity analysis and they've also have an entire planning team, usually. So they could be like, hey, we know that this feature would take this long, and so we can slot it in this Q2. Like, we don't know that. We don't have those details. We're so small that we can't get them. If I were to take some time to plan a feature that I wasn't working on for like a year, great, I might be able to do that. But that time sort of, it's not wasted because it would be beneficial, but it's like confusing order of operations. I get that's weird, but like, hey, sometimes there's just areas where we at Resonite are just built differently. I'm smiling because getting that phrase in was kind of a meme. Yeah. Taking a look, I don't think I see any additional questions. Do keep the off-topic chatter out of this thread. I don't want to see any Roblox. I don't want to see anything like that. This is not hashtag Roblox. This is hashtag primetime. You can just go make an off-topic thread called Roblox and you could talk about it for like centuries in there. If it's an off-topic, we don't really mind. The last time I played Roblox was like a month or so ago, and I couldn't figure out how to change my avatar, so I just kind of didn't do it. It was very confusing. Ah, a question. Hooray! Yay! Euphoria says, has the team considered any additional cloud sync storage systems to go with cloud variables? We do want to do cloud impulses at some point. So cloud impulses would be like cloud variables, but it would be an impulse. So a little bit like the dynamic impulses that you see, but coming from the cloud. So you'd be able to send sort of dynamic impulses across sessions and stuff like that. It'd be really good for just sort of cross-session communication and things like that. Beyond that, I don't really know. Cloud spawning is an official feature we want to look at some point as well. Right now, you guys are all doing a hack to make it work. So that's cool. Kestrel says, can we get an oof button in the Resonite dashboard? When you press it, it goes oof. You can make that yourself. You have the ability to make stuff that attaches it to to the Resonite Dash. They're called facets, and you can just make them yourself. Seeker says, are office hours still recorded, transcribed for archival and referential reasons? Yes, they are on officehours.probablyprime.co.uk. I'm a little bit behind on uploading them. That's my fault. I have automated most of the uploading process, except for initiating the upload process. I have to put the files in a particular folder and then run a script. If I could make it such that there was a script observing that folder and saying like, oh, there's new files here, I'll run my script, then I would do that, but I haven't got around to doing that yet. So I literally just need to copy a bunch of files to a folder, push a button, wait 2 hours, and then it'll be up to date. I just haven't been able to do that whilst juggling everything else. The temperature is drastically rising in this apartment, so I'm going to turn on the AC. I do hope that doesn't mess with the audio quality, but if it does, tough titties. I'm here, and I'm hot. Don't out of context quote me. It's horrible. Venport says, if you had your own custom dash facets, what would they look like? I won't ever have my own custom dash facets. I've made a few. You can find them in my public folder, but they're very old. One of the problems is, as a Resonite developer, I'm in a constant state of just chaos when it comes to my dash, my home world, and my inventory. Because you guys just have to store the stuff that you want to keep, the stuff that you've built, the stuff that you think is cool. I have to store, like, random debugging objects, exploit reproductions from users, random stuff. You know, someone opens up a GitHub issue and they're like, this thing doesn't work, here's a reproduction item. And I'm like, great, gotta save that to a folder. And then it just becomes a mess. As for the dash facets, there's a bug with... I don't know if it's my local copy of Resonite, my account, my dash, my facets, my screens, whatever. But like, my dash just won't work unless I reset it on every single launch right now. I would love to have time to look into that, but the quickest fix for it for the moment is just add reset dash to my local development copy, such that when I'm doing development testing for additional features, etc., my dash just loads the default facets. It's a lot faster. Trust me, I tried both. I timed both. It's just a lot faster. But what does that mean? It also means that my dash is reset on my non-development copy. And then people go like, well, why don't you use two accounts? And it's because, well, if I used another account, I wouldn't have my inventory crammed full of stuff I need to look at. An excellent opportunity here for me to ask something I've been wanting to know. Whip says they have a Markiplier facet that says, was that the byte of 87 when you click it? I presume that's a Markiplier meme. I don't know, like, I would like to know the origin of the meme, as I feel I would understand the comedy behind it more. Draconis says, any tutorial you've made that you like the most? I really like the social ones. I need to redo them, give them an update. I need to add some more content. I've recognized, like, a lot of times that, you know, education or maybe parenting just doesn't teach you the social things. They're good videos. Lex says, do you have a work folder in your inventory? I've got multiple work folders. Sometimes I use them, sometimes I don't use them, sometimes I forget where they are. You've got to, like, I want you to just, like, picture the chaos, right? It's like 4 a.m. and you've got, like, a random spurt of energy, and you're working on GitHub issue, blah, 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 and someone gives you a reproduction item as a rec link in that GitHub issue. You spawn that into Resonite, and you see it's a public folder. Like, fine, great, cool, awesome. So then you have to save that public folder somewhere. You're kind of tired and lazy, so you don't save it to, like, a folder called, like, reproduction items folder. You just save it to the root of your inventory, and you go, I'll clean that up later. Right, you diagnose the bug, you fix it, you put out the change request, and you're like, good. And you feel really good about yourself. You're like, I did good work. I have fixed a bug. The last thing on your mind is go back and delete the public folder. So you don't. And then 6 months down the line, you realize that your root of your inventory is just full of junk that you don't understand. And at which point, it's just too late, and you just roll with it. Occasionally, I have a clear out. If I'm ever, like, standing still in Resonite, and I'm, like, fidgety... I will, instead of, like, spawning a fidget toy or whatever, I will, like, fidget by deleting stuff from my inventory. But most of the time, I just need to delete it. Aaron says, do you personally think that people should be cloud spawning things whilst it's not officially supported? I worry about it, but I worry about it because of, like, the second layer of it. So, let me explain that. The first layer of it is people that are creating cloud spawned item stuff, cloud spawning systems, items which rely on cloud spawning, avatars which rely on cloud spawning, stuff like that. They understand that what they are doing is hacky and not supported, and they understand that it might break. But if they then save that item or that system or that whatever to their public folder, the second layer of people just see it as a cool item because they don't know how it works. So imagine a brand new Resonite user gets given cool public folder number 7, right? And then they open it up and they see a cool item in that and they spawn it out and it's amazing and it's really cool and they love it. And so they save it to their own personal inventory and they go, great, it works, cool. And then we release an update that unfortunately breaks that system. We can't expect them to understand that that was an unsupported feature because they don't understand the technical parts of it. The user who made it will understand that, but the user who saved it to their inventory won't. And so that's what I worry about. There's no real way to work around that, but there we go. Okay, so there's a link there for the origin of the Byte of 87. I will watch that later. I am disappointed to see it's about a Five Nights at Freddy game. I don't understand those games. Never will, but I'm happy that lots of people have made a lot of money with them. Because here's how to make money as an indie game developer right now. You just have to completely throw out everything you know about game design and look for, like, $5 price tag as quick as possible, as meme-y as possible, as viral as possible. And sometimes that is make a scary monster and then get Markiplier to play it, and then, like, even at a $5 price tag, you'll make a lot of money. Emergency Temporal Shift says, can't you save facets? Pacifiers is what I almost said there. I have no idea why. Can't you save facets to a custom page and save the page facet? You can do that. That is also, again, technically like not supported and may cause oddities sometimes. I know some people have, again, second layer style stuff. They've added stuff to their dash that creates a second tab. For example, the mirror tab, various other things like that. They add a second tab, and then at some point they want to get rid of that second tab, and because they're at that second layer, as in they didn't make it, they just spawned it from a public folder, they don't know how to do that. So again, that's a sort of like thing. I did briefly consider like looking into fixing that up, maybe allowing there to be like a screens manager UI somewhere, and then I realized I wouldn't know where to put it, or like, and I was just like, I don't know, not right now, not urgent enough. Euphoria says, do you envision networking BEPU physics being a difficult task? What do you see being the major roadblocks? I don't really know what you're saying. I think we're talking about rigid body physics. I'm not going to be involved in that item. That is very clearly going to be a Fruks item. It's really strange because, like, we're trying to all the time beat down the idea that, like, Fruks is the only person that can do anything. I am very proficient with editing the engine right now. But there are certain items where I'm just like, it's clearly Fruks, right? It's clearly Fruks that's going to do it. And rigid body physics is clearly a Fruks item. So Fruks might be able to answer that question. I won't. That's not to say, like, I wouldn't take it on if I needed to. Like, say, for example, some circumstance required that Fruks was off doing something addition, and it's like, we need rigid body physics. I'd figure it out. It'd probably take me longer, but I'd figure it out. Like, I'm capable of doing so. But if Fruks does that particular item, I know it will be awesome. Fruks says, I like to keep my testing items just in case, plus it provides a bit of history. Yeah, Fruks is a big proponent of sort of archival and history, and I get it, right? I can look back over my Resonite screenshots and I can just be like, cool, let's reminisce. I can look back over some of the devlog items and reminisce as well. There's quite a few funny ones in there. I'm really happy that we can keep devlog a little bit more sort of lighthearted and stuff, because it's all like work in progress stuff that is usually just funny because it exists. So that's cool. So Xenaris asks, all right, how does the Resonite inventory cloud system work? How do you manage that data? What if it's a bunch of junk items? So I'm going to do this loosely because I don't get the finer details of it. But everything that you create, if it's an asset, it's going to be uploaded to the cloud. It's stored in Cloudflare's R2, I believe it's called, storage. But it's just like a bunch of sort of disorganized buckets. And when I say disorganized, it's very organized, but it's organized for machine readability, not human readability. So if you were to access that collection of assets from a sort of file browser point of view, you just wouldn't be able to find anything. It's just like random hash has been saved to the cloud. Random hash has been saved to the cloud. In addition to that, there is also a sort of manifest that is saved. And that sort of says like, hey, I am the cheese model, and the assets I need to make the cheese model work are over here. they are this hash, and this hash. And then Resonite goes, sure, I'll go fetch this hash, and this hash, put it together with the information, with that manifest, with the actual raw JSON of the object, put it all together, and we get cheese. If you'd like to understand more about that, you can always watch the non-tutorial where I extract a Resonite package in Linux. I'll get you that video. Because with, you know, tweaks for it being a cloud-based system that, you know, we own and run, it's kind of similar to how the Resonite package is structured, a little bit. But just at a larger scale, because it's everything. All right, let's continue. Whip says, on your point about indie games, sure, that seems to be the case now, but the first couple of Five Nights at Freddy's games were made creative before the whole concept even existed. Of course. So what you have is just jumping on the bandwagon, right? So what's really hot right now are the sort of co-op team of four does something game. So we had Phasmophobia, which I believe is the sort of first in that sort of area. It probably wasn't the first, but it was the first I was aware of, Phasmophobia, right? Then we had Lethal Company, which, let's be honest, Lethal Company is sort of just Phasmophobia by another sort of crafting, but it added ideas to it, you know, planetary exploration, but it added, you know, backrooms and SCP on top of that. So, like, it's like a sort of, like, I don't know, like alchemy or whatever, right? It's like, Lethal Company is like Phasmophobia plus SCP. And then you've got content warning, content advisory, whatever it's called, the one with the emoji faces. That one is Lethal Company plus, like, lightheartedness. Frick says that they're just a pack rat. I've been watching, sometimes I watch episodes of the TV show Hoarders, not because I like the show, but because I'm stressed out. I find it very relaxing. The reason why I find it very relaxing is because the problem faced by the Hoarders and sorting out their collection of physical stuff makes my problems seem less important and less strenuous. That might sound weird, but like I can't stand moving. Like, anytime I'm moving, I get really stressed out about it. And my place is tidy most of the time and clean most of the time and has a reasonable amount of stuff in it. So it helps me sort of reframe that moving debate when I see what's going on there. I've got some friends in the local area that have moved recently, and they have way more stuff than me, and they managed it, so it's great, but moving still stresses me out, so I watch Hoarders sometimes. Why am I talking about Hoarders? I don't know. I forgot. Oh, yeah, Pack Rat, yeah. But I most certainly am a digital hoarder, and the reason why I'm a digital hoarder is not only because I download and I save a lot of assets for archival reasons, or I need a lot of assets for the work that I do, but it's because I don't organize it. I try to, but, like, it's just impossible. Like, my download folder is a mess. My desktop's a mess. The root folder of my Google Drive is a mess. Like, it's just, it's going to be a mess. I just have to accept it. Venport says, Fruit should make a museum world. We'll probably eventually do that as a team. But, yeah, what's free time? Yeah, I pretty much work on Resonite from the moment I wake up to the moment I go to bed. That might alarm some of you, but there is a period during the day where I'm not actively working on Resonite. I'm, like, chilling out or I'm playing games. But Resonite's still in my brain, and I might be hanging out with Resonite folks, like people. And, like, I value every friend I have on Resonite, but if I'm in Resonite talking to people, I'm still sort of working because I'm in Resonite. So it's a bit weird like that. Euphoria says, how much space does the current Resonite cloud use? So I can answer for the asset store. I can't really answer for anything else because I could, but like asset store is easy to get. Or at least I thought it was. About 20 terabytes was the last time I saw the email from Cloudflare. They send an email out occasionally where it's like, you transmitted this and you've got this or whatever. Draconis says, what's the average bandwidth in and out of Resonite per day? Couldn't possibly tell you because it would be very difficult to figure out. We use Cloudflare, so some of those assets are sort of geo-distributed and all sorts of weird stuff like that. It's probably on our like Cloudflare bill. I don't have access to that. Actually, I might now. Ooh, let me log into my Cloudflare account. Please enter your 2FA code. Oh my god. Like 2FA here for a second. Cloudflare. Don't you hate it when you open up the 2FA device app thing and like it says your token expires in 5 seconds? Because then you're like, oh, I've got to wait now. I've got to wait. I need the next code. This code's like, I'm not going to have enough time. And yeah, I know there's a buffer, like two-factor, there's a buffer. Like if you enter the current code just as it expires, it will probably go through because there's like a little bit of a buffer, but not enough. All right, over the past 30 days, we have had 391 million requests. We have done 27 terabytes of bandwidth. There you go. So you could take that 27 terabytes, divide it by 30 to get per day. Venport says, by the way, I noticed that sometimes when I save my avatar with non-persistent tools, the material assets from the tools seem to still get saved to my avatar, even though they are marked as non-persistent. Any idea what would be causing that? I'd have to look at the hierarchy itself in session to figure that one out. Electronus says, what's the goals, as it were, for support? I know of two issues where support has been unhelpful. One I was eventually able to resolve months later. One is still waiting for input from Phyrexius. In the meantime, is causing Resonite to not really be usable and can't really sync anything. I'm a technical user, and it looks... And it still took someone else reading decompiled code to find my issue in the fix. And then you linked an item. Let me take a look at what's going on here. YouTube video is not playing. Support can really only help with something that's not a bug, is the sort of like realm of thought that you can have a look at there. If it's a bug, then support can't help. If it requires engineering work, support can't help. If it requires non-engineering work, like existing systems, support can absolutely help. One of the things that we keep an eye on, and we get a report on each month from Dante, who is sort of leading support, is we get a report from him based on how many tickets he resolved and what the general themes were. And occasionally Dante will ask for additional features or functionality to be added to Resonite that would help him do support better. And we've done a couple of those. Like a recent example of that sort of style thing is the warning command for Resonite moderators. Previously, only team members could send out warnings because team members were using the overarching message command, which can send arbitrary messages to any user on Resonite. That's too much power for a moderator, so we scoped it down to the warning command, where they can send a message to any user, but it is automatically prefixed with a particular set of phrases, and it was also audit logged back up to the moderation leads so they can see who's using it. So that's an example of like tooling improvements. The sync error thing currently has a needs more information tag, but it looks like maybe that's out of date because that was added May 27th, and it's now July, so we probably need to take a look at that again. But like I said, if it's a bug, support probably can't help. One of the things that we are trying to figure out is if we need to sort of have some sort of official SLA, which is service level agreement for support. So the sort of ballpark SLA right now is like, hey, we'll try and get to your ticket within 48 hours to at least get your response. But maybe we need to document that somewhere. There is no promises of support anywhere. So we're not breaching any contracts there, but like we need to sort of figure out if we want to have that there or not. Whip says, I disagree with you there. Phasmophobia and Lethal Company are completely different games. Alchemy, right? Think Spice, not Spice Girls, Powerpuff Girls, right? Sugar, spice, everything nice. A bit of Agent X, right? It's like, Phasmophobia's core structure is go inside a building and you get scared and obtain information. And Lethal Company is go inside a building and get scared and retrieve items for money. It's more the idea than the gameplay, right? Content warning, absolutely inspired by Lethal Company. Lethal Company inspired by Phasmophobia? Maybe not directly, but maybe from another title that was inspired by Phasmophobia. I think you could probably make that chain back. You'd have to do a bunch of interviews with the creators. You basically would go up to the Lethal Company creators and you'd say, what inspired you to make Lethal Company? And they'll be like, oh, games like Phasmophobia. It's like, great, cool, sorted, done. Tony Cat says, when you get enough hours in Phasmophobia, it just turns into a puzzle game. I can't play it anymore, and that's because everyone else doesn't play it like I do. I play it with military precision. I'm like, all right, we're here to gather information. So I like go to the truck, I grab the information gathering devices that I need, I walk in there, I do it, and I'm like, great, we need this, this, and that. And then like someone else on the team is just going, ooh, I'm scared. And I'm like, it's a 3D model, it can't hurt you. With that, I don't see any additional questions. We've still got some bubbling ups about the support on the sync errors. It's an unfortunate scenario, but like we can't commit to fixing everything the moment it comes in. It's not possible. So it's going to have to wait. Like I could say, hey, Electronus, sorry about that. I'll take a look after this, but I will either forget or I'll take a look at it and I'll get blocked somehow. Like I'll need some more information or something else more urgent will come up, etc. So like we'll try and look at it as soon as we can. If it's a ticket, we'll look at the ticket within roughly 48 hours. But if it's a GitHub issue, there's no established SLA on this. Electronus says, make a ticket then. I thought GitHub was where you got technical support. If it's a bug, GitHub. If it's a support request, support. And I know that those can like overlap sometimes, but like here's an analogy, right? If you've forgotten your password and password reset isn't working for some reason, support can probably help out. But if support help out and they discover that there is a bug in password resetting, which means it's not working for anyone, then that's a bug and support can't help with that. That needs to be transferred over to engineering, and then engineering will pick it up when they can. That particular bug that I described would pick up with more urgency than other bugs, but the priority of those coming in, just like it's a read how we prioritize. Sync errors aren't always bugs. They're like circumstantial sometimes. So like out of space, that's not a bug. You're out of space. Sync conflict isn't a bug. It's we need you to make an informed choice about which way round we should sync, right? So you should know that the world on your local copy is more recent than the world that's on the cloud. And you can then authoritarily say like, hey, I want this copy rather than the one on the cloud. And then that will tell you which command line doobly-doo to do. Should we have a better UI around that? Absolutely. And we'll get to it when we have time. Before it says any information, new information about compiling protoflux to an asset. I don't know what that means. I'm sorry. Could you elaborate? Whip says not always. Yeah, it depends. It depends. Bolin says, are you aware the asset import queue is exploding? Yeah, we got alerts set up on that. And if the alerts go off, I'll be notified. Yeah, they went up to the soft cap. Looks like today it went up to the soft cap on the metric site. If it goes up to the red line, which you can't even see because it's a little bit higher, it will trigger an alert. Electronus says, the ones you don't hear about, do you have any idea how many people just quit because of storage issues like this? I get it. Like, I completely understand. It's just like we're an incredibly small team and there's nothing we can do. Like, the options are every single time a support ticket comes in that the support team can't fix, we throw an engineer at it instantly, like the moment it happens. That's not sustainable. Another option might be, hey, we review engineering support requests monthly, which we already do. There is no, you tell me what you want, Electronist. Do you want, like, one engineer from our team to be, like, 100% of the time on these support issues? Great. But that means that, like, performance or the stuff I'm working on has to suffer and stuff like that. We have to constantly do a balancing act to figure out what's going on. Venport says, where is the metric site? That's on metrics.yellowdogman.com. I will type that in chat once I can remember how to spell yellow. There we go. Mizname says, does Resonite function while fully offline? No, but we do have a GitHub issue on functioning offline. We've got offline support. Here we go, 64. Nintendo 64. Yeah, no more questions. All right, Anunnak, you got it in. You just snuck in before the Chroma emoji, so you get it. You get it answered. Are asset variants always generated in the cloud, or are they sometimes generated in the client? They can be generated in the client under some circumstances. Electronus, I will commit to reading through the linked GitHub issue and seeing if I can figure out something. If I don't find anything, I'll leave a comment saying my findings, and we'll go from there. You know that scene in Bruce Almighty, where he's trying to like figure out how to store the prayers, and so he's like, oh yeah, prayers filing cabinet, and it's too much, and then he's like, oh, prayers post-its, and it's too much, and then he does it to email and it's still too much, so he just answers all with yes. That's how it feels sometimes. Like, there are thousands of things that I want to do right now for Resonite, but there are also like five or so things that I need to do right now. And so it's constantly balancing those constantly. And it's like, it's exhausting, but like, it's the only way we can do it. Like, there's no other way we can do it. The way that we could fix it is if we suddenly like 10x'd our team, and then we could have like at least one engineer dedicated to support issues, but we're not there. We don't have the resources to do that. And so it's a balancing act. We have to continually figure out, is what I'm doing the most important thing? When it comes to the work I'm currently doing, yes, it is. When it comes to the work that Fruks is doing, yes. So many people filled in a survey to say they want performance improvements. Luna, you can ask what I'm doing. I have a board which tells you what I'm doing. One of the reasons why I made the board as well is that people were frustrated. They're like, we don't know what you're doing. I'm like, well, here's exactly what I'm doing. Knock yourself out. Sometimes I have to put draft issues in there because I can't tell you what I'm doing because it's like a corporate contract or it's private. But like, I always put something in there that that tells you what's going on. I'm only doing three things right now. It's the in progress column, right? I'm doing three things. All right, we're going to leave off here. It is like boiling here. I need to I don't like. I went as far today as there's a weather advisory going off. This is like total non-office hours. I'll end it soon, I promise. There's a weather advisory in Seattle going off right now for like extreme heat, and they're like, "Hey, we have cooling shelters for you." I looked them up because I was briefly considering going to one. That's how warm it is. But most of them don't take pets, and I've got two dogs right now. The small dog, the little dog from the photo at the start, owns the wrong word for a dog, like adopted by a friend of mine, is very aloof, has very bad leash manners, doesn't respond to most commands, is well behaved, but just like isn't like the pinnacle of good dog training. So they're kind of like annoying to walk, if that makes sense. Whip. It isn't dormant for a month. I think about the Brotley issue once per day, guaranteed. Sometimes whilst I'm making food, sometimes whilst I'm in the shower, sometimes whilst I'm brushing my teeth, sometimes at 5 a.m. when I can't sleep and I'm sat there with my eyes wide open, worrying about how much I need to get done tomorrow and knowing that I won't be able to get it all done, but still trying to figure out how to get it all done. But I'll get there when I'm able to get there. Yeah, like, unless you want, like, a running commentary of what's going inside my head on every GitHub issue, which, trust me, you don't. If I'm assigned to it and it's in the in-progress column, I'm thinking about it once a day. I will see you guys again next week. If you have additional questions and help, DM me. Do you remember our various contact things? Edit the wiki. And 7.